This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, August 13th, 2014. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, what does gender have to do with it? All parents know when your child is born, the first thing people want to know is name and sex, boy or girl. With poetry, the same binary way of thinking also applies. Robert Lowell, male poet. Sylvia Plath, female poet. It's the lens through which we inevitably read them. But with the rise of the transgender movement, our categories of male poet and female poet are quickly blurring. A new anthology of contemporary American poetry makes this abundantly clear. It's called Troubling the Line, and the subtitle is Trans and Genderqueer Poetry and Poetics. The editors are poets T.C. Tolbert and Trace Peterson. Trace is in Brooklyn with me, and T.C. joins us from KRCC in Colorado Springs. Trace, let's start with the title, Troubling the Line. What is this line, and how does this anthology aim to trouble it?
We really had trouble titling this book, and we went back and forth with it forever. And finally, Troubling the Line seemed like the best fit because it could apply to as many different things as possible. Mm-hmm. It could apply to the line between male and female, as you're saying. It could apply to the line between poetry and prose. And, of course, individual lines in poems, that's when you do when you're writing a poem is you're troubling a line.
Mm-hmm. And T.C., let me ask you about the subtitle, because one of the most interesting things about the transgender movement is the new and constantly evolving vocabulary it has brought into the language. So tell me about that subtitle, Trans and Genderqueer Poetry and Poetics. Why genderqueer? Why not just trans?
Well, for genderqueer, we were really thinking of that as a way to stretch our vocabulary and allow folks entrance into this who might feel excluded based on some rigid definition of what it means to be transgender. And really thinking about genderqueer, not referencing medical definitions or expectations, but an open identity category that folks can claim and can feel is politicized and empowered.
T.C., let me ask you this question. What do you think that poetry, the writing and the reading of poetry in particular, brings to the exploration of gender? What role has poetry played in your sense of yourself over the years?
Well, it's absolutely made it possible for me to figure out how I want to be alive.
Huh.
I mean that quite literally. You know, for a long time, living in my body, you know, pre-transition, I didn't know how to access parts of myself. And I would say language and sort of the limits of the kinds of poetry I was interacting with at the time, which were pretty narrative and pretty linear, you know, that just reminded me again and again, there's a certain way you're supposed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started experiencing more experimental poets, you know, I remember getting like Mallarmé and having my mind truly blown, like, wait a second, I can spread out here. I can enjoy the space of not knowing for a minute. And that started to influence me to think, oh, maybe I can also do that in my body. And so poetry, I would say that was my first step in transitioning, was doing that on the page.
So it's fundamental to who you are then.
There's no question. Absolutely.
Can I
go
add something here?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of a bad trans person or a weird trans person in the sense that I did this backwards. I would give readings as Trace since 2007, and I was Tim the rest of the time.
Mm.
So poetry allowed me to transition in the sense that I was always able to think of this version of myself that I was able to try out and interact with people. I began giving all my readings as Trace, and I began hosting academic conferences as Trace and doing other things. And my Facebook profile became Trace. And then very gradually, I'm now Trace. You know, and it's like, so poetry, it really is sort of a space of play where you can figure out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a space where if you want to talk about anything of consequence, you can't avoid a central issue like dysphoria.
What do you mean by dysphoria? Explain that.
Well, that's the current technical term, but the way that it's stereotypically explained usually is being a woman trapped in a man's body.
There's 55 poets in the book, and there's a huge range of poems and styles, and we can't even really hint at what all the range is in this podcast. But I've asked each of you to pick a short poem from the anthology to read. T.C., let's start with you. Tell us Which poem you picked and why?
I picked a poem called Everybody by Laura Newman. I picked this poem for several reasons. One, because I don't fully understand it, and I like that feeling. and yet it feels playful and open. So I just enjoyed the flux in this poem.
So here's Laura Newman's poem, Everybody.
Everybody wears too much red. Everybody stops, then starts eating meat. Everybody wears shorts. Everybody can't decide what to listen to after a long day at work. Has trouble reading more than a few pages at a time. Wants to move closer to the beach. Everybody can't orgasm while oil is pouring out there. We're not wired to. Just have to wait. Shh. Don't move, love. There's a fly on your cheek. Everybody likes to get slapped now and then, as long as you don't mean it. Everybody found out the sun was going to explode one day, has a lot of concern for objects. Everybody sometimes forgets to turn off the coffee maker and burns the pot. Everybody is secretly annoyed, then overly nice to strangers on the trolley. Everybody rides the trolley? Everybody is walking around in two cities at once. While your body cuts out space in this one city, taking up room on the sidewalk and disturbing plants, buildings, and other persons, there's another city making nerves fire like tunnels inside you, which is why you have trouble navigating the boulevards, remembering where you've been or how to get home. Everybody wants to go home?
That was Everybody by Laura Newman. Now, I could imagine this poem in a lot of different anthologies. It could fit quite well in it. It's funny. It moves well. It's a prose poem that looks like a lot of other prose poems. So why did this particular poem end up in this particular anthology? What does it have to do with transgender?
Well, for me, the subject itself, everybody, mm-hmm. seems to be both singular and plural at the same time.
Right.
You know, thinking certainly about myself, I feel like that's true. And I've heard a lot of trans people say that about their experience. And
so let me just clarify. So instead of saying I wear too much red, everybody wears too much red.
Right. Well, it's this wonderful way where we could be talking about really everybody, all of us, or we could be talking about a singular person named Everybody. Uh-huh. Or we're talking about one person who stands for a group of people. With trans and genderqueer evolving language, there's a way that, you know, people are using they as an alternative or gender neutral pronoun now, and Z and here and her.
Yeah.
And so there's a way that I also see that as functioning, you know, as a play with that language or an experiment with talking about a singular person as all of us.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that at one point in the poem, everybody cuts out, and then it says, while your body cuts out space in this one city, it changes from everybody to you, basically.
Right.
What do you make of that?
That's the part I don't get. that I love. I do suddenly feel directly implicated in something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't totally know what to make of it, and I think that's why I like it.
Uh-huh. It does show division between one's physical presence in the world and maybe perhaps how you're seen, and then how it feels to be that physical presence. There's two. I think the poem at this point is saying there's two of us in any one place at the same time. Am I not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely what I get from it.
And is that something that you see specific to genderqueer or trans people?
I don't know that it's limited to trans and genderqueer folks, but it does seem to be a common point of conversation. It's something I've heard in many conversations and felt myself as a trans person.
Yeah, I have to say, I have felt that as well. And mm-hmm. so I wouldn't, that's why I said when I read this, I wouldn't see it as a trans poem at all. It's just a poem.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that we talked about a lot as we were choosing poems for the anthology is that we didn't want to limit the subject matter.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, to this has to be about trans experience or trans identity. So I like that it can shift, you know, that it can be, like you said, in many anthologies at once, almost.
Okay, Trace, tell us what poem that you wanted to read for this podcast.
Well, this is a poem. It's called Obedience, and it's by Carrie Edwards, who to me is sort of one of the trans poets.
And also a mentor of yours.
Was a mentor of mine, mm-hmm. yeah. And two things you need to know to understand this poem is, one, at the time she wrote this, this is part of a long book-length poem called Obedience. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think it would be helpful to know is she has a really kind of wicked black sense of humor.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things going on here, and I'll say more about when I'm done. But okay.
Go ahead and get a read. This is an excerpt from Carrie Edwards' poem, or book, Obedience.
Let nothing be as silent as arrogant bigotry. Let nothing be so silent as supernatural belief in arrogant bigotry. Let nothing be so silent as the implementation of a superstition based on arrogant bigotry. Let no conformity of experience lead to certainty of violence of belief found in supernatural arrogant bigotry. Let all be led away from the blind hybrid of the drunk corpse of arrogant bigotry. May some like it hot and like it to go, and something something stopping the terror of neurologically arranged bigotry. Let no galaxy burn brighter than a poem railing against the carnivorous teeth of dismissive references of gritty bigotry. Let the crystalline batteries, ultrasonic song, sing flashbulb and vacuum descend in will-o'-wisp implosion at the drowning dolphin's embrace when there is a new flash existence of bigotry. May the day be speaking of speaking, the sanctuary of humanity and illumination in the flower of clarity, speaking of the poor and hungry breath of the ocean, of the saliva, of saints in dust at the end of the day, at the end of all bigotry.
That was from Kari Edwards' book, Obedience. Now, Chase, this seems to be a poem of great hope about what could actually happen.
Well, it's actually very cynical at the same time. That's what I love about it.
Explain that. So how is it cynical and how is it hopeful?
Well, this is sort of a quiet, beautiful interlude in the book. But there are still moments like, may some like it hot and like it to go, mm-hmm. and something, something, like trying to remember a tune, in which in those moments there's this kind of cultural critique. It's almost like this. There's nothing that is entirely hopeful or entirely free of the taint of inequalities in society, injustice in society. It's all writing through it rather than writing above it or writing around it. Even when the poems appear to be suicidal or very bleak, they are actually very campy and hopeful mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I really like this combination of tones that's going on in Carrie's work, because that is how emotions work. Mm-hmm. I mean, she wanted to be seen as a woman entirely in every way, but her eventual mission or her eventual vision was no gender, was wanting to get beyond gender binaries and destroy the gender binary. And whether you think that's a realistic goal or not, there was something about that combination of things that really is very beautiful, I think, and that's very paradoxical. And we always encounter that kind of paradox when we talk about not just trans identity, but any identity, that there's always a wanting to be recognized for the identity that you are while wanting to do away with the category eventually.
Okay, well, thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much.
T.C. Tolbert and Trace Peterson are the editors of Troubling the Line, Trans and Genderqueer Poetry and Poetics. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.